promise from the Lord. It's not age old anymore, but it's because it's some of it is realized. But again, the Lord reminds you of things. And Jay prayed it again, and I was in Dalton's Barn, where I'm from, 35 years ago. Only a new Christian, and we'd done an outreach to the children in the flats. And we heard out a little Andrew's Hall, and we were learning the kids, you know, that they're loved. There's a God who sent His Son, and there's not only a God who sent His Son because you're loved, but He has a plan for your life, and He'll make it a blessing to you and your community. That was their message, because everything was the opposite. Destruction was being raised in destruction and bringing destruction. And one of the days, there was a 3-day thing, and one of the days all the kids were up the front and we learned them the song, Hosanna. Hosanna. Lord, I lift up Your name with my heart full of praise. And as we sang that bit, the kids lifted up their hands without anybody asking, without them, you know, why would you teach kids to lift up their hands? But anyway, but the Lord gave me this promise. Then I will set a sign among them, and I will send some of those to the nations. Isaiah 66. Jay said it about our kids. You know, I'm like, wow. And that's why I just went and read it again, just to declare His glory. That's the rest of it. To declare His glory, that, you know, and I've seen it happen. I've seen it. We've kids gone. We've kids from our own household gone. We've kids from the church gone. The sharps have been gone on missions, not over abroad, you know what I mean? And then all the missions that we've done and do and will do here, it's like, wow, it's never ending. And then people out of the blue just say this stuff again, and you're like, I just want to remind you. And this is what I felt for when we were in worship for our kids. And I prayed, but Jay already done it, that God has a plan. And no matter what it looks like around us, God has a plan. God has a plan, and winds will come, storms will come, encouragement will come, success will come. God still has a plan for each one of our lives and collectively as the church, and His ultimate plan. Of course He's going to bless us. Of course He's going to be in relationship with us. But His ultimate plan is to win this world. It's to win those who don't know that God is calling them to be sons and daughters. That's His plan, and to be part of that. To be play any part in that has to be our greatest honour, both here and when we get there. And we're not going to keep us long. And if you believe that, you believe that. But no, but I want to remind us, because we're in the Gospel of Luke, if you want to go there. Reuben, are you still with CCMA? Another chapter. All right, I was at a thing yesterday. Like, I was like, the privileges I get to speak at this bikers' convention, and they're all wearing the leathers, you know. I walks in a cardigan, and I was like, no, this does not look right, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, the pleb, or the nerdy, or I don't know what word I put on it, but I was like, I feel a bit like underdressed here, like with all you heads. And but you know what? I only found this out yesterday. The reason why this motorcycle chapter, Christian biker gang, is that what you call a gang? It's not good, is it? So, anyway, this Christian biker gang, they exist to tell people about Jesus. To go to riots and go to other countries, and it's just like incredible. Like, you know, they get to ride their bikes, they get to go out, they get to go and see. But they're going to Switzerland, and they were praying that we'd be able to stop in different villages and witness to people and give out tracts about Jesus. And I thought, not incredible to exist for that while you get to do all the good stuff. But I was reminded while we're in Luke this week, Luke 10:2 and 10:3, this is what Jesus says to the disciples. He calls them to Himself, and He told them, verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray and ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest fields. And He says, go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the way. And when you enter a house, first say, peace be to this house. Shalom be to this house. If someone who promotes shalom is there, your shalom, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking, whatever they give you, for the workers deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and you are welcome, eat what is offered. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come. And so, etc., etc. And then in this story, in the other Gospels, it talks about when they came back and all of them that were he sent out came back rejoicing. He said, even devils submitted to us, that they had this authority to heal the sick, to cast out evil, and to preach the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom to the poor. And he came back rejoicing all this. So the end result is there. But at the beginning, Jesus sends them out. And he says, this is what you have to do. And I just want to remind us of our 10:2. And this is where I'll get to it in a minute, Luke 10:2. And so he says, pray and ask. And the link between praying and sending is huge there. It's like Jesus, you pray, I'll send. Pray and ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest field, into the place. And that place for us is anywhere. But we need to pray and ask the Lord to send. Because it's him who we want to direct us. It's him who we want that we want to lead us. And just to remind us how powerful our prayer is. See, Jesus says stuff about prayer that, like, I said to myself at the beginning of this year, I'm reading through some of these scriptures. Lord, do I believe that? Do you know what I mean? It's all right me saying it. It's all right me even doing it. It's all right me even quoting it. But do I believe this stuff, oh Lord? And wherever there's unbelief, will you help me with that unbelief? That, like, if you say things about prayer, so he says stuff like this about prayer. He says this in John, in the Gospel of John, he says, up until now, you've not asked anything in my name. But he says, I tell you, whatever you ask in my name shall be given to you. And I'm like, do I believe that? That whatever I ask in his name, it shall be given unto me. Now, we're not talking about silly stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, Lord, make me be handsome and I'm not. Do you know what I mean? We're not talking about stuff that is like, but like that, like he says this, like he says in the Gospel of Matthew, he says that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from there to there and it will move. And then he goes on to say, for nothing. See, we know the scripture when the angel spoke to Mary about conceiving Jesus. She said, how will this be? And he said, nothing is impossible with God. But Jesus says about this faith as like the size of a mustard seed, that you can speak to mountains, tell them to go there. And he says, for nothing is impossible for you. And I'm like, and I'll leave it with you, Lord. Let nothing be impossible for you, Lord. But he says, in faith, by having faith, you can speak, because nothing is impossible in prayer. That we can shape landscapes or reshape them. We can change governments. We can change situations, circumstances, ask for things in his name. And I just really challenge myself, no, do you believe it? You can say it, but when the rubber hits the road, do you believe that? But listen, I might put all the qualifiers or disqualifiers in that. Well, you know, Jesus could say, if you ask anything in my name, if you have the faith, if you believe, you will receive this. I can put all, well, maybe I will be able to receive it if I'm better Christian. If I do more, if I fast more, give more. But the reality is, he didn't put any of them junctures in there. He just says, if you believe, you'll receive. He didn't go, believe now, and now you have to be the best Christian on the planet. No. Those who believe, receive. And that's what he says, pray and ask the Lord, because he's trying to tell us, your prayer is powerful. No matter how, see, the prayer works, it's not like, the power is not in the praying person. The power is in the person who hears it. Do you get me? So if it's just like, help me, Jesus. Like, it's like, it's not like you have to come up with this like big booming voice and this like all-knowing scriptures type of thing. It's like, no, the power is in the one who hears it. So no matter what way you think, like my prayer, well, I don't pray like him, therefore what I pray for won't happen. He just never says that. That's where we need to settle that. But he does say, pray and ask the Lord to send workers into the harvest field. And who knows where the harvest field is for each one of us. It could be your job place. It could be the government buildings. It could be the police force. Lord, send people in. Lord, this is my prayer. Send people in. And that word sent is, it was a word called ekbalo. A Greek word called ekbalo. And it's sort of,
Well, I don't know how you say it really, like, but like this is the way it is in my head because I know the meaning of it. It's like egbaldo. It's like there's a force behind the end of it because it means this. It means to, like, when Jesus was casting out demons, the word was egbaldo. So Jesus would, when a demon would encounter a demon, he would egbaldo, expel, you know, deliver the person from what was tormenting them. So there's this powerful word, and yet when he's praying, he says, pray and ask the Lord to egbalo. I don't remember reading this going, because I knew what that word meant. I'd studied it before. I was like, it's mostly used for egbalo in demons. It's used in one other place. You'd be surprised where it's used. It's used when Jesus was egbaloed into the desert by the Holy Spirit to be tempted, which is a really, really interesting one. Like, why was Jesus in egbaloed? Meaning, this word means that there's a force, but there's a greater force that egbaloes, the force that's holding someone, whatever. And I just remember going, Lord, why is that used in connection with us, the followers of Jesus? Because he's not asking non-believers to be egbaloed into the harvest field. Why would that be? And it took me days. I was like, it was in my head. I knew what it meant, so I knew this great. Why us, Lord? Why not another word? Why not lead us into the harvest field? And then one night I realized that I have to be egbaloed, Lord. It's like, I have to be egbaloed because, like if there's fear holding me back from the call of God in my life, like that's not gonna be broken in an easy way. There has to be a greater force than the fear that will break the fear. I.e. the Bible says love casts out all fear. That the power of his love will cast out any fear, just being lethargic? What about just being discouraged in your faith? Disappointed in your faith? All that stuff that holds us back. And I go, yeah, I get it. That, like, a greater force has to be released into our lives that will stop all that stuff from holding the people back to fulfilling the call of God. So I want you to know that, like, I'll tell you in a minute how many times I pray this, but I pray that God will egbalo each one of us. Or start with me, because I need him more than anybody. And I go, Lord, egbalo your church. Let the force of your love and grace and mercy break any bonds that would keep me from fulfilling the call of God. And he says, no, that's the way to pray. Pray that way, that the Lord would egbalo. It's a beautiful thing. It's not like, wow, no, that's... No, it's like we're on course. Because I told you the end result was they came back rejoicing that they were used by God in the kingdom. And then he says, I'm sending you out as lambs amongst wolves. So I'm sent, like, pray that the Lord would egbalo, and I'm sending you out as lambs. So there's another send. And another night, I actually realised this. Two nights I was lying in bed over that couple of weeks. The first one was the egbalo. I got it. I need to be egbaloed. Because I was asking the Lord. And then I woke one night, and I was awake one night, and I was like, I wonder if that send is the same send, Greek word, is that send? So I got out me, not that I know Greek, I got out my little Bible app and I put it in, and then I read that egbalo is not that send is not the same as this send, sending you out amongst lambs. And I was like, so I looked it up and I knew this word as well, and you know this word as well. So it's not egbalo, that send is apostolos. So one is egbalo, the Lord shakes us out with something, but then apostolos, apostolic, apostles, works of the apostles, the book of Acts, that he says, I will get you out of whatever's holding you back, but now I'm going to give you a power. Like, if I say to you, the apostles in the Bible, who comes to your mind? What did they do for God? Well, that's because they were egbaloed. A greater force had hit them. Remember, they were afraid up in the upper room, and this, the power of the Spirit came, and now they were egbaloed. But not just shaken out of the tree, for the want of a better word, but empowered to do what God wanted him to do. So he doesn't just say, pray and get the Lord, but also, listen, I'm sending you out as lambs amongst wolves. And why that expression? Because in this world, wolves are greater than lambs, aren't they? But in the kingdom, and the Christians under apostolic anointing, power, enablement, equipping, that lambs are greater than wolves. It's an upside down, turned around kingdom that we walk in. And then he sees all of this. I'm not just taking you out. I'm taking you out to empower you, to send you out. So this is what we do as Liberty, and I hope you're doing it. And if not, maybe this will wake you up today. So 10:02 in the morning, my alarm will go off on my phone because I've said it. And 10:02 in the night, my alarm will go off. And I stop and I pray, Lord, would you send workers into the harvest field? Because he told us to pray. Would you send workers in? And twice a day, my phone, that's what I was going to tell you, twice a day I pray for you to be Ekbalot. So if you're not being Ekbalot, or you are, Ekbalot mightn't look the way you might think it. God upsets the apple cart. He upsets the norm. He things that look like the way they used to be. Oh, they don't look like that. Maybe this is God Ekbalo in me. Maybe he's getting me out of the way I think. Maybe he's getting out of the way things should be. Maybe he's getting me out of my disappointment. Oh, all of the stuff that it never looks the way we think it should look. But the result will be the same. So we pray 10:02 in the morning. I put the alarm on, you know why? I forget. I was at a conference the other night, I was talking to a leader, and my alarm went off, right? It was 10:02. And it was a long meeting. And he says, is that for your tablets? I'm getting to that age, obviously, right? I says, no, it's not. That's my 10:02 prayer time. And he's like, what's all that about? But 20, and then the Lord, then you ask the Lord, when you set that up, ask the Lord, give us specific people and places to pray for, to send the labourers in. And when you see what happens. I know people that have prayed for individuals, Lord. Me Aunt Mary say, will you just send labourers? Send workers into her field. Send people to know her that will bless her, that will show your love, show your kindness. When you hear when Aunt Mary gets back to you, tell you, Jesus says this because he's telling us to take it serious because prayer works and that he sends. And then every now and then, you get to be the labourer that he sends in. The enemy, like all of a sudden you're praying for certain things and all of it, you're there and you're like, this is my 10:02 prayer. You name it, I want it. I didn't send it in yesterday, but I'm going to send it into that WhatsApp broadcast. Who's praying for bikers? Because we don't know who the Holy Spirit laid on people's hearts specifically when you ask, give me a name, Lord. Give me a group, Lord. And I wouldn't be surprised if I get a thumbs up. Because every time I put it in, someone gives me a thumbs up. That's been my 10:02 prayer for the last week or for the last month or forever. I'm telling you guys, I'm so encouraged. I've heard people, one of our brother in the Lord, sister away from the Lord over the last weeks. Will you pray for me? To get me a Bible. She's been his 10:02 prayer. I don't know whether anyone else has been. Like, people are praying for youth. People are praying for the government. People are praying for the police force. People are praying for the customs. They're pointing the drugs. Like, in an incredible way. And God seems to let us hear. Those who pray will hear what God is doing to keep us encouraged. I got a text message from a chaplain under a year ago. In a youth detentional prison in the city. Didn't know him. Someone gave me my name. No, I wonder, my name is this. I wonder, would you come in and speak in this? And I'm sitting down, my wife's on the other end of the sofa, and I said, oh, that's a great one. Sharon, chaplain in Overstown, is out to ask me to go in to speak. And she turns around and she goes, what? I says, chaplain from Overstown. She goes, no, that's my 10:02 by name. She named Overstown twice a day for however many months for the Lord to move in Overstown. And then within a week, I'm with the chaplain. And within another week, I'm standing in a group of young men that are teaching them on forgiveness through this chaplain. Last Sunday evening, two of our guys went in and led 24 young people. Well, not 24, 24 including some staff members, so I don't know how many. But in total, 24 they led in the sinner's prayer. They were there for 5 hours that they couldn't get enough. A couple of months ago when we were there, I don't know whether you were there, that went to the first football match, Stephen, and we were there. You were there, Brent, as well, the first football match. We went in to play football. Now, like, we're praying 10:02, and when someone's praying, Cheryl's praying, the door opens, we're now in there, now there's 11 or 13 of us playing football with them, we go back in to have pizza with the young guys, then we're in a room where we're singing worship songs, and at the end of the worship, the last song was Waymaker, and at the end, I mean, to hear all of them say Waymaker, there was prison guards and prisoners singing the same song, And at the end of it, these teenagers were well, like, we want more. Is that right? Not more. I had a rapper. I met a rapper and brought him in, an English Christian rapper. He came in. They didn't want more rap. Didn't want more pizza. Didn't want more Coca-Cola. They wanted more worship. Because this is real. And God wants you and I to see. I could go on forever. I go on. We are praying in our sitting room for the government. That was there some of the 10 too. 3 weeks in a row, we were just praying every morning. Because we still meet 4 mornings a week, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. to pray. Since 2019, just consistent prayer, seeing the move of God. We're sitting there praying because of someone's 10 too. And it got intense. It just every morning, we're like, pray for the government, pray for the government, pray for the government. We're sitting there within 3 weeks, we're standing in the government buildings, 4 or 5 of us, over in Dáil Éireannmhuil. The doll is in session, we're up in the gallery, we're the only ones there lifting our hands, praying over our government. That it can go from your sitting room to either God's, like you could say, I've been praying for the government, God answered your prayer. No, we weren't walking around the building, we were in the building, with a special pass by a junior TD that got us in everywhere we wanted to go. And here's the other thing, I went downstairs into the bell, because this guy was like me, he had a badge to open up all the doors. So he says, I've never even done this all this before. So we go, well, let's see where this takes us. Like, that is absolutely my idea of a good day. And then we end up down in the bowels of the government buildings, where RTE actually has a studio. And that was one of the guys when he says, this is my tent too, pray for RTE. And then we're sitting in the broadcast room, Bill was on the chairs then on the interview, and we were praying because we were the only ones there. But when we went down there, I walked around the corner. And, of course, the first round the corner, because I like going through the doors first. And anyway, there was an angel made out of copper. I'd say it was about 7 foot tall, just sitting there, made out of, and it was painted that green, you know, the pink, with a trumpet in his hand. And I walked around, and I went, whoa, this was like, it might as well have been real, it wasn't. But this is what the Lord felt. The Lord said, I'm in this, I'm on this. And I encourage you, we'll pray in a minute, ask the Lord. Let me see prayer again. Because I know, I've been battered in prayer, guys. I'm telling you. I'm 35 years old, which is, I've been disappointed in prayer. I felt let down by God in prayer. I know all that stuff. I know it all. But God then turns it that prayer becomes the greatest expression of your walk with Him. Like, no, you're like, you get to a place and all that, like, when His help faith springs up, I don't care whether it's answered or not. I'm going to keep on going. And then something of faith happens in your dad's life. Because it's not about now seeing the answers when I want it, how I want it. It's about who I'm praying to. And that's where God will bring us. And God will put specific things. And you name a place. Do you know what we were praying one day? This is what I'm talking about, this prayer thing. We're praying for the police, right? And for the customs. And that, like, they catch the drugs coming in. And you wouldn't believe, Tom has an app on his phone. Like, he doesn't even know how it got there because he doesn't know anything about phones. But anyway, it keeps coming up, 1.3 million would have this found here, 1.3 this there. He rings me all the time. No, you wouldn't believe, look what they're at to find. And we are praying one morning, Lord, listen to how powerful we believe our prayers is. Lord, send locusts into the fields in Afghanistan and Pakistan and Colombia to eat all of the plants that's making this. Now you can imagine sitting in Ballyfair, just like a little few of us in the dark. Lord, send the locusts. Why? Because our prayers matter. And within a couple of weeks of praying that way, there was 175 million of worth of cocaine, the highest ever in our government's history, found off the coast of Kerry. Do you remember that? And someone said, had the nerve to say to me, do you believe that's because of your prayers? Absolutely. Because he said, never downplay. Because we didn't come up with this idea about praying, Jesus did. It was his idea. Same we're praying for our kids to go as missionaries. We don't play it down. We're praying for God to use us. We're not playing that down. We believe anything is possible in prayer. We pray. That was really funny in my head. Jesus, you said this stuff. I was praying in the car on the way down. I was like, because it's an everyday prayer. Lord, let follow me. Let things shift in my life that's not in line with what you have for me. And what I have, what you place me in this earth to do, whether that's to wash someone's feet or to rule from a palace, it doesn't matter. The fear, discouragement, any lack, move me up to the realm of God where I'm able to function as you called me to. That was my prayer on the way down. That's my prayer every day. Follow me. Move me, let the greatness of your love be the force that moves me off the ground of wherever. And that's an invitation prayer that you have to ask. We can't pray. You can pray that for us unless you're in agreement. He's not going to pray. So Lord, I ask, by the power of your love, that you would follow us as a church and as each individual. And I pray right now, Lord, that we as we just get stirred up to pray for, I ask that you would lead us, put names, places, peoples, nations, whatever he wants to. Oh yeah, he can get you just praying for nations, like it's just incredible. He can make a governmental official like he's your best friend in prayer, like you pray for them like their lives depend on it, like you want them to be successful. You just ask. And I pray, Lord, that you would use us as laborers in our respective places of work, family, community, marriages, relationships, friendships, wherever, Lord. Would you use us, Lord, to be a light, peace bringers, hope bringers. People that will reach out the hand, people that will hope, people that will give up themselves. Because, Holy Spirit, you make our prayers and your heart. Make it known to us, O God. No matter. See if it's the most audacious thing, you're like, pray for that. Most likely it's probably him. Because we'd make these so that we wouldn't be disappointed. But he'd make the grace so that he'd be glorified. That person, they never come to know you. The Lord puts them in their heart, you pray.